You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner looks back at the document that changed the world, the Declaration of Independence.
Most people would rank the Declaration of Independence at or near the top of the list of important documents in American history. No doubt every schoolchild must read it, and, at least in my day, students memorized parts of it, particularly the first paragraph. July 4th is, of course, celebrated as Independence Day, but that is the date that technical changes were made. July 2nd, 1776 was the date that the Continental Congress actually accepted the document, which had been almost completely authored by Thomas Jefferson. But what did it mean? It justified to the colonies why they should become independent from the British crown. It also listed the grievances of the colonies against the British government and their ill treatment by the mother country. Most important and enduring, however, is the assertion of what the colonies believed themselves to be. The second sentence has become one of the most famous and widely interpreted statements in the English language. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was used by Abraham Lincoln to define his political philosophy, and by Franklin Roosevelt to calm fears of Americans during the Great Depression and to justify our entry into World War II. Martin Luther King Jr. used it to embellish his I Have a Dream speech. Ronald Reagan used it to promote his ideology to Congress. Historians have often questioned just how original the document is. Did all of the verbiage pop into Jefferson's mind? The answer is both yes and no. In 1825, Jefferson wrote, "Neither aiming at originality of principle or sentiment, nor yet copied from any particular and previous writing, it was intended to be an expression of the American mind, and to give to that expression the proper tone and spirit called for by the occasion." He indicated that his sources were his own preamble to the Constitution of Virginia and his friend George Mason's Virginia Declaration of Rights. He also used the 1689 English Declaration of Rights. But by far the most profound influence on Jefferson and his thinking was the English philosopher John Locke. Most colonials were aware of Locke's writings and considered them not only profound, but akin to their own political yearnings. The historian Carl Becker wrote in the 1920s that most Americans had absorbed Locke's works as a kind of political gospel, and the Declaration, in its form, in its phraseology, follows closely certain sentences in Locke's Second Treatise on Government. Benjamin Franklin also suggested some changes in the text that made it fall more in line with the views of deists and Masons. But technical changes aside, it was Jefferson's own interpretation of earlier works that became the Declaration of Independence. Sometimes a brilliant mind can absorb widely divergent information and mold it into not only a great document, but the pure essence of thought for a people. That is the great legacy of the Declaration of Independence. So when you are outside grilling, viewing fireworks, and enjoying your holiday, stop a moment and think about what it really means, who we are, how did we get here, and I think you'll get a clear understanding of why history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas Magazine.